Just joined.
Hello, Thomas.
Hello, this is Jeff Newman.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, I'm going to put you on mute because I'm in my car and it probably causes some noise.
Okay.
Hi, it's Bruce Tonkin joining.
Hello, Bruce.
Hi, Glenn.
Bruce, so far we have Philip Shepherd, Marilyn, Kerry Kopp, Mark Schneiders, Thomas Keller, Alec Wilson, Thomas Rissler, Jeff Newman from Task Force 1, Brian Darville from Task Force 3, and Kurt Pritz from ICANN.
And Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Early morning for you, Barbara.
And Kurt, yes.
And to Kurt.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
How early? 4 a.m.?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or to those of us with night lives, how late, huh?
Yeah, that's the only
I think Alec's the worst one. That's, what, 1 a.m. for you, Alec?
I am here.
That answers that question.
Bruce, just before the call starts, I have had no reply from Lucy Nichols, the new IP representative. So perhaps there is no IP representative on the call, in which case Ellen Shankman, when she was still in office, gave the proxy to Philip Shepherd.
Okay. So do we have anyone from the intellectual property constituency on the line?
Well, this is Brian Darville. I'm chair of Task Force 3, but I'm not a representative of the GNSO Council.
Okay.
So, Glenn, to clarify, am I holding all three proxies? I think that's what I had understood earlier for the IP constituency in their absence.
Yes.
Right. Thank you.
Is Ross Rader online already?
I think Ross might be absent.
Actually, I talked to Ross last night in his car, and he said he would be dialing in a little bit late this morning.
Otherwise, Thomas, you have his proxy.
That's correct.
Okay. Can you just run through who we've got on the line again?
Yes,
just to see whether we've actually got quorum or not.
Philip Shepherd.
Yep.
Marilyn Cade.
Yep.
Ken Stubbs.
Okay.
Kerry Kopp.
Okay.
Is on the line. Jordan Buchanan.
Okay.
Tony Harris. I think he might not be on. Tony Holmes has excused himself. Greg Ruth has excused himself. Jessic Wu. She was, she planned to be on the call.
But she's not yet.
But she's not. But Mark Schneider's on the call.
Is on the call.
Thomas Keller.
Not.
Alec Wilson and Thomas Rissler.
So
we've got nobody from IP and nobody from ISP.
Ken Stubbs.
Okay.
Hello, Ken.
Have we got Kerry and Jordan?
Hello?
Carrie's here.
Yes. Oh, Carrie's here.
Is okay. that you, Jessup?
Yes, this is Jessup. Hi.
Hi,
Jessup.
Hello, Jessup. And we don't have Jordan, is that right? Okay, so we don't have Jordan yet.
And we don't. So we have no one from the ISP. Is that what you said, Glenn?
Yeah, I think we had an email from Tony Holmes saying that he believed that no one would be available from the ISP.
Ah, yeah.
He sent that through. So we've got Philip and Marilyn from the business users. We've got Ken and Carrie from registries. Jisrook and Mark from the non-commercial, Tom Keller and myself from registrar, and Alec. Just handling that.
We don't have quorum. Do we have quorum?
No, we don't yet. Have quorum. We have 13 votes. What I suggest we do. If we haven't got quorum, then we can't vote to accept the minutes. But I think we could perhaps move to getting an update from the task forces, because we're not making decisions here. We're really just minuting progress and discussing where those task forces are up to. So I don't think it's critical that we have quorum to start that discussion. So with that... Jeff Newman, you're on the line.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, yep. Can you just give a general update on where Task Force 1 is up to and what the feedback is in terms of the timelines for Task Force 1?
Sure. As far as what we're up to, we, as you know, our tasks are to, number one, study or collect information on the needs and justifications for non-marketing uses of WHOIS information, and to look at the measures that are out there already or that are being developed to prevent data mining. And so in order to do that, we one of our first tasks is to obviously collect all the information that's out there already from the WHOIS workshops and from the surveys and everything else that's already been done. So we're having that done for us. We're also identifying all the non-marketing groups that are out there to send them a letter in mid-January, or actually early to mid-January, to get their input on the needs and justifications. So I sent a timeline, actually. I sent you a question, Bruce, and I sent it to Glenn, who forwarded it to the council about our timeline, and it's got a bunch of dates in there. But ultimately, our goal is to get a preliminary report to the council by the Rome meeting, or actually just before the Rome meeting. And so we feel like, because there's a lot of data out there and a lot of data that we still need, that we need that extra time. I may have been wrong. I may have been off in the timelines I had for the PDP in my email request, but I still think it was before when we wanted to deliver our preliminary report. So I'm asking the council if you can accept those dates or accept the date of Rome to submit the preliminary report. So we're well on our way to getting our data, to getting some substance, even during the holidays, and we know we can have a preliminary report by Rome.
Can I just clarify what you meaning by a preliminary report? If I have a look at the policy development process, the first stage of that is collecting the constituency statements, collecting the public comments, collecting other information, and putting all that together into a single document, which is the preliminary report. And then that then basically gets discussed, and then that effectively creates the task force report. And that task force report is then put out for a public comment period of 20 days. So that... The preliminary report.
Yeah, that's the preliminary report that we're talking about. Basically, collecting all the being able to have time to collect all the information, to collect the constituency statements, and put that into a single report.
Right.
And is that the report that then goes for a public comment period?
I think that's for you guys to. I guess
no,
that.
That That is the report that would go for a public comment period, correct?
Yeah, okay. That report actually goes to that becomes the task force report, and as Barbara says, that then goes out for a public comment period of 20 days. And so I guess it's beneficial if that occurs prior to Rome, because Rome could form part of the public comment and public discussion on that preliminary report, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we have we've set a March 1st deadline for getting that report out, so it should be available. I know it's not that much notice before the Rome meeting, but it should be available before Rome.
Right. Okay. Now, who just joined the call?
Tony Harris.
And Jordan Buchanan.
Tony, oh, good. Okay. I think that then means we are now... Okay. Perhaps if I can just step back a step and just confirm that we have quorum, I'll just do a roll call and confirm we have quorum and then accept the minutes of the previous meetings and then come back to your request, Jeff, regarding timeline, because I think ultimately we then need to report that timeline to the board formally and say that this is the timeline that the GNSO is recommending for this particular policy process. So I'll just start with a roll call. Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Marilyn Kay?
Yes.
Grant Forsyth? Has Grant provided a proxy to anyone?
I have Grant's proxy.
Sorry, Marilyn?
Yeah, I have Grant's proxy.
Okay. Ken Stubbs?
I'm here.
Kerry Carth?
Present.
Jordan Buchanan?
Yep.
Okay, we have Jordan as well. Tony Harris?
Yes, I'm here.
Tony Holmes?
Tony Holmes and Greg, I believe, are not joining the call. And I should have proxies for both of them. Is that true, Glenn?
Yes, that's true.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Jessup Wu?
Yes.
Okay. And Mark Schneider?
I'm there.
Now, has Carlos provided a proxy?
Yes, to Jessup Wu. Yes.
To Jessup Wu. Okay, Jessup, so you're carrying Carlos's proxy. Ross Rader? Okay, Tom Keller?
I'm here.
And you carry the proxy for Ross, I believe?
That's correct.
Bruce Tonkin, I'm here. And Nicholas Lagergren? Kyoshi Chisuru? Lucy Nichols? Okay, and now you're holding their proxy, is that correct, Philip Shepherd?
Correct.
Okay, Amadeo? Demi Gitsko? Alec Wilson?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Then we have quorum. Just going back through the first two items of the agenda, which are the minutes of the meeting of the 20th of November, do we have someone to propose accepting the minutes for the meeting of the 20th of November?
Ken Stubbs, so moved.
Okay. Any all those in favour of accepting the minutes of the 20th of November say aye.
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 Any against? Any abstentions? Okay, the minutes of the 20th of November.
I wasn't there.
Okay, so you'll abstain?
I'm abstaining.
Okay, abstention for Ellie.
And, hello, Bruce, it's Marilyn. I'm abstaining as well. I missed that call.
Okay, and Marilyn is abstained. Okay. will note the minutes of the 20th of November carried. The meeting of the 2nd of December, someone like to second or propose that those minutes be accepted?
To say, Ken Stubbs, I'll make that proposal.
Thank you, Ken. All those in favour of accepting the minutes of the 2nd of December, say aye.
Aye.
Any against? Any abstentions?
I abstain, Tom.
Okay, we'll note those minutes also accepted. Now, just returning to the question Jeff has raised. Jeff, you've posted to the council list a proposed timeline for completing the work of the task force, and it's an extension to, I guess, the policy development timeline, which would normally be a period of, I think, around about 50 days from the initiation of the policy development, and the policy development, I guess, was formally initiated in the meeting in Tunisia, which was the last week of October, so we would be beyond the original time frame. Do we have any discussion on this proposal from the task force?
Bruce?
Yes?
It's Ken Stubbs.
Yes?
I think we're trying to keep these task force on a relatively parallel track, and when we get down to task force number three, Brian Darville's proposed a timetable as well. I'm a bit concerned about that timetable as well, and have posted personally back to Brian, but not yet to the task force. The reason I'm concerned, and you're a registrar, so maybe you and Tom can speak to that, they're allowing for 7 days over the holidays, or just after the holiday, year-end holidays, to get information back from the registrars, and I'm concerned that given that year-end rush and the holiday season, that timetable may be a little too aggressive, and it would seem to me that it might be a good idea to consider that concern right now, because it could have the same impact on Task Force 3. Maybe you guys can comment on that if you feel that the registrars are going to be able to get really responsive in a 7-day period starting the first business day in January.
Well, this is Brian Darville. If you might speak to that briefly, Bruce.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
I believe that part of our task is to gather information on the current techniques that registrars are using to verify the accuracy of this data. We would be sending questions to the registrars on January 5, and they would have until the 15th to respond. That's about 10 days, and you know, we're trying to, it's a few days after the holidays, and we're trying to accommodate them to that extent. I do realize it's not a great time of year for anybody, but we can have discussion on this point, but that information is a bit of a driver for other information we need to get to the point of preparing a preliminary report. And currently, we're a little bit, in terms of a timeline, we're shooting to have a preliminary report by around 10 days after the Rome meeting, March 16. And I think that's a similar track to the one that's been circulated by Task Force 2. I don't know whether that's been posted to the council yet. But we're very close to what they've proposed. So, in any event, if that sheds any light on the issue.
This is Kurt Pritz. I think what you're going to find out is that you're going to get some responses from registrars after 10 days, but not complete responses, and then you're going to have to do some follow-up and check-up to see that a non-response is either means inaccurate information or something else. So you're going to, at the end of the 10 days, you're going to find you're going to have some additional data gathering time required.
What would be the amount of time that the registrars would think would be reasonable for that?
Well, can I just clarify, Brian, would you be essentially sending it to individual registrars and getting their individual responses, or are you trying to get a coordinated response?
I think, you know, I don't know that we're at that point yet, but I thought we would we'll probably pursue it in both tracks. I mean, there is some sense on the task force that if we send it to individual registrars, we're likely to get a somewhat limited response. So I think we would probably pursue both tracks and see what we get back.
Yeah, because I would say in terms of coordinating something at a registrar constituency level, 7 days is generally too tight based on my experience. I think if you did a sort of a two-pronged approach, which is send it to individual registrars but get the registrar constituency as a whole to sort of encourage your response to those questionnaires, that might have more success. And I think Kurt's right. You'll probably find that you'll get some in within that time frame, and then the others will need follow-up probably from the staff manager, you know, literally calling people on the phone and trying to get the data. It's probably the most effective way of meeting that time frame.
Okay.
Can I get in line, Bruce?
Go ahead, Thomas.
Bruce, this is Jeff from Task Force 1, if I could also...
Okay, go ahead,
Thomas. Okay, I just want to say that I'm not sure why we all have to rush that issue of data collecting so much. I mean, we only give the task forces or the constituencies 10 days time to have input, and I don't think that's enough, and I think we should extend that to the end of January and then see how we can move on from there. So I don't really see a reason why we should rush that on. So that would be my comment to that.
Yeah, so your advice, Tom, then, is to have more time to get that input.
Yeah, not only for Task Force 3, but for all the task forces. They look similar in some way.
Is there a way of collecting data statistically, in other words, taking statistical samples, so that you don't have to cover the whole field and still get an idea of how accurate the database is, but in a straightforward, not a straightforward way or a simpler way?
I'm sorry, who's speaking?
Oh, I'm sorry, this is Kurt Pritz.
Yeah, I think, Kurt, the issue is probably the questionnaire hasn't been prepared yet, and I'm not sure that I can answer that question as wearing a registrar hat without knowing what the questions are. If the questions are, what are our current practices regarding verifying accuracy at time of collection, I think we can respond to that relatively quickly. If the question is what percentage of our data is accurate, that is a much harder question. I think
this is Barbara. Nobody has proposed that question on a questionnaire yet.
Good day. Sorry, I'm calling in late. Here I am.
Oh, hi. Thanks, Christopher.
On this topic, there is a company in Iceland who does reports on the proportion of lame delegations in each TLD. Offline, if I can find the reference, I'll get it on to you.
Okay, thanks. So I'll just go back to the queue. So I have Tom, Marilyn, you're next.
Let me speak in support of what Tom Collar just suggested and add a second point. I see the very strong potential of multiple and overlapping requests, not just to the registrars, but potentially to the CCTLDs and even to other third parties. And I think we need to extend the data gathering period. The initial flaw that I see in the PDP is that it really did not take into account the need for extensive data gathering. It seemed to be based on the idea that the only data that would be needed would be opinions that would be posted. And I think we're finding in the task forces we actually need to do data gathering, and the time frame is not sufficient to address data gathering. But the issue of multiple requests, I think, needs to be addressed as well, and I would really
look to the staff manager to be able to look across all three task forces and see if we can't coordinate and limit the number of times that we go out to anyone, whether it's the constituencies or it's a particular constituency or other third parties, or we will get we'll overload them with requests, and they won't know what our priority is.
Yeah, this is Barbara. Let me speak to that for a moment, if I may, Bruce.
Yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
I agree with Marilyn that we want to coordinate our activities as much as possible when we're seeking information. It's going to overwhelm the community if we go back to them multiple times to respond to similar questions or similar areas of concern. It's only recently that we've completed the timelines for all three of the task forces, and so I haven't had a chance to look at where we can coordinate activities among the three of them. But that's something that's certainly, I think, an appropriate area to look at and try to make sure that we're not asking the registrars to answer multiple questionnaires or, to ask the public to comment on, a variety of issues spread out over time that all address the same concern. As for the constituencies, I think that there's an almost inevitable going back to them multiple times because we need constituency statements for each of the task forces, and so that's sort of an unavoidable circumstance.
Yeah, I think there's a difference perhaps between collecting opinions on a topic and data collection. I think what Marilyn's suggesting is the data collection phase might be coordinated to say we need the following pieces of data, which can be shared across all the WHOIS task forces. And then you might say, I need an opinion on what you think about the accuracy issue, or I need an opinion on what you think about the WHOIS data element.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Next in the queue, Jeff Newman.
I was just going to reiterate, I guess, what's already been said. A lot of our work is going to depend on as fast as ICANN can get, staff can help us get some information, things like that. And I don't want to overwhelm them during the holidays, but, I think that just needs to be kept in mind. And I'm fine synchronizing my schedule with the other task forces. We just kind of started from scratch, created a timeline, and surprisingly, all of them are pretty close. They're not that far apart. But anything that we can do to help synchronize with the other task forces, we'll certainly be willing to accommodate.
Okay. Well, I guess on the timeline approach, what I suggest, and perhaps I'll do this in collaboration with the GNSO Secretariat Glenn and also the ICANN staff manager, is almost create a spreadsheet which basically says this is the dates based on the milestones are in the ICANN bylaws, so there's a set of milestones saying the date from which the policy is initiated, that the representatives are appointed to the task forces, that the chair is appointed, and so on. There's a whole stack of milestones that have got defined dates in the bylaws, and then against those we can compare what the dates are proposed from the three task forces, and those dates may be different. And then we can sort of look at that whole picture and understand where we need to synchronise the activities between the task forces. And then potentially then we can put a joint statement through to the ICANN board saying that on the topic of WHOIS in these three areas, this is the time frame that the council is recommending to the ICANN community. That's kind of the approach I would suggest as a general approach. Coming back to what Tom Keller raised was regarding having sufficient time, and I think Marilyn raised it as well, is what you're saying, and I think I agree, is that the PDP doesn't really include explicit data collection. It really is assuming that the data is fairly readily available, and what we're doing in the initial phase is opinion collection. And I think one of the things that we've found in the past is that opinions are better informed if they've got some shared data to to base their opinions on. So I agree that potentially spending the month of January on whatever data collection is required in those three task forces in a coordinated way would create a good foundation to then get the opinions and then create preliminary reports. Do other people want to comment at this stage?
Bruce, it's Marilyn. I'd like to comment on another general issue, but do you want to take the reports of all the task forces before we talk about general issues more broadly?
Yes, I think, yeah. I want to particularly talk about, at the moment, the issue of timing, actually, and because Jeff's made a request to the council to seek approval for timing. I think what the council opinions I've received so far is that the timing that has been presented is a bit too aggressive, and that the first phase, and I think looking at Jeff's timeline, he's got sending information to, or requesting information from non-marketing groups, needs and justifications chart, send out notice to non-marketing groups on needs and justifications. I suppose most of your work, Jeff, looks like it is for the whole of January. Is that right, in terms of data collection?
The questions are going to be developed prior to then. January 5th is the date for a first draft, and then getting noticed out by the 12th to all of the non-marketing groups that have been identified by the task force, and then giving a two-week period to get responses back, and then spending most of February compiling those and putting those into a report.
Bruce, this is Ken. Could you put me in the queue?
Yes, go ahead, Ken. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to me there's a common thread that's going through our discussion right here with respect to timing. I guess what I need to find out is whether or not we need to do something in the way of formal action to acknowledge this in the PDP process so that we don't run into a problem at the other end. Does anyone feel that this is requires some sort of formal action?
Yes, you do.
Okay, thank you.
What's more, we have to formally notify the board. I think the board has to formally accept the change, because there's a clause in the bylaws that indicates that, in fact, under task forces, under terms of reference, section 2, it says the specific timeline that the task force must adhere to is set forth below. And this is where the dates are, like the 35 days and 40 days and so on. Unless the board determines that there is a compelling reason to extend the timeline. So
that was kind of what I was angling at.
Yeah. So it's not actually the council that makes... I think what it's effectively saying is that the council has to stick to the bylaws, and the only body that can sort of provide an exemption to those... is the board as written in these bylaws.
It's Nero, and I'd like to comment on that. I think the question is, of course, the board would have to approve, but I would assume that council would need to have reviewed.
Yeah. I think the council would need to have formally voted on a recommendation that's accepted by the council, presumably by a strong majority. And then that recommendation would go to the board, and the board would need to approve that. I'm cautioning is that before we go to the board, rather than going to the board and say, we want the date to be, 5th of March, and then a few weeks later we go back to the board and say, actually, no, we've changed our mind, we want it to be the 15th of March, I'd rather be fairly certain that we've got the right dates and then just go to the board once.
Yeah. Bruce, I'd like to speak to a resource issue which I think affects the timing at this point, if I could, please.
Yes, go ahead.
I think the task force chairs can speak for themselves on their view on this. I'm just speaking as an individual task force member. My observation is that there are certainly some instances in the data gathering where either following through on appointing an expert within a task force would be helpful, or where actually maybe even retaining someone to do some of the data gathering, because it would be a single person with perhaps expertise in an area, might also, and therefore my assumption would be that person would be neutral in their data gathering, might also be very helpful to the task force process. And finally, I would just note that this is a new process to everyone, and that there are several new members in the task forces. There are new ICANN staff. Everyone's doing, I know, their best, but I think we need to be very realistic about how these calendars and timelines all come together, and we may have bottlenecks that are just created by the fact that there are going to be multiple work projects descending on one person at the same time.
This is Kurt. Barbara and I spent quite a bit of time talking about hiring experts yesterday, and I think in several instances it may be a very good idea. And,
Kurt, you're impossible to understand.
Excuse me?
We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Well, a little louder.
Let me see.
That's better.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out in the garage so I don't wake up the kids.
Oh, yes, right.
So we discussed hiring experts. I think before we pull that trigger, we need to get a little bit further down the path in the formulation of a questionnaire or a determination of...
This is Bruce Tonkin just joining again. I got dropped off.
Okay. This is Chris talking. We want to get a little bit further down the path and... either the formulation of a questionnaire or in specifying goals or determining how accurate the database should be or, you know, some formulation of where we want to get to, so that when we get to the point where we think we want to hire an expert, we
right.
can pretty much lay out the statement of work for them. We don't
sure.
want to bring in an expert right now where the field is still kind of wide open and we can't give specific directions.
Kurt, Marilyn, just responding to you, that makes perfect sense to me, and I'm, but again, the task force chairs can, you know, kind of comment more on, but I think that would be very realistic if we could come up with statements of work, then it would make it, it's also much more deliverable in terms of a product if we can do that.
So, Marilyn, that was the statement of work from the task forces to say this is the job that we need done. Is that what you were referring to?
Yeah, I mean, I would, and Brian, maybe, Brian, are you still on?
I think Brian had to leave the call at half past the hour.
There's a particular task in one of the tasks, in Brian's task force, which seems particularly suited to have a single individual, perhaps some expertise, go out and do that data gathering. And I, you know, I think that may be the case as the task forces look hard at their work agenda, they might be able to do that same modularization.
And so what you're saying, Marilyn, is that they could identify tasks that could effectively be outsourced to a
right.
individual to conduct.
That's right.
Right.
And that's a very lucrative, the word of caution I guess I have is that's a very lucrative idea or to do that outsourcing. So we want to pull that trigger selectively because we have limited
right.
resources.
Right.
So we want to, you know, we want to be clear about what we want to get and then determine what we can do ourselves and what is really more economical to have somebody on the outside to do.
And let me just say, I'm also not assuming, Kurt, that all experts would necessarily always be. And I think the issue is going to be neutrality here. But you know, it might be that one thing the expert would do would be to find additional existing materials and. That are relevant to consideration. In particular, it's the data verification capabilities was the thing that I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
To be clear to everybody, data verification
used by online service providers, not registrars. So it was
Or ASPs or.
Well, I mean that's how the milestone is defined in the description.
Right. That's an important clarification. We weren't assuming that an expert would data gather from inside the ICANN community.
Right.
So the question I would have, Marilyn. Is that person forming some kind of an opinion, or how does he make sure that, how does he decide that data he's gathering is relevant and who's looking after that person, looking over the process of data collecting he's doing or that person is doing?
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that there would be just as for any of us, whenever we operate a project of this nature, we write a statement of work and a tender document and define what the expert would be gathering. I'm assuming that would then be presented to the task force for their informational purposes and as one of the contributions.
Yeah, I think opinions have to come from within the task force of the GNSO.
Right.
The expert, if retained, would just be providing objective answers to questions posed.
Yeah, I think Tom's concern is potentially if a person who's been assigned to data collect has a particularly strong view on a topic, they can data collect solely to support whatever their view is. So I guess it's just making sure, as Marilyn says, that you're getting someone that's going to do a particular job in a neutral manner.
Yeah, so for example, if I ask someone to answer some very specific questions on the accuracy of data as expressed in numbers, that's very objective. If I ask somebody for best practices in keeping a database accurate, that those answers can be opinionated and subject to somebody's views.
Yep. Okay, so where is that heading? What is your conclusion now that you've had an answer back from Kurt, Marilyn, on the time frames and how we should...
I would ask the task force chairs to... as I looked at this, it looked sort of like we were thinking that there would be, at least in Brian's timeline, and Jordan is still on, yeah?
Yeah.
Jordan, you had proposed March the 26th, I think, and Brian had suggested April the 20th. I don't know. We probably ought to try to come up with a relatively standard extension, realizing that council, in considering the reports from these three task forces, still has to unify the final policy changes that we recommend. And there may be some overlap between the recommendations that come from each of the three task forces. So we ought to try to be on a relatively, maybe not an exact time frame, but a relatively consistent time frame for the conclusion of all three of them.
Yeah, this is Jordan. Can I jump in there for one moment?
Yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I think actually I was shocked actually by how similar the Task Force 3 schedule was to the one that we had put together. Task Force 2 with my own sort of date at the end, but I think there's only 9 days difference between the two task forces, and many of the milestones end up hitting on the exact same dates. So I think given that there seems to be some alignment in terms of the thinking of where these dates are going to land, I think it certainly makes sense to try to get the end work product sort of aligned as well. But I think the caveat that Marilyn made earlier is important to keep in mind, is that precisely because they're so aligned, it may actually increase the burden on constituencies and on staff and so on that each of the individual task forces may not have taken into account. And it's probably, Barbara's probably aware of that, having been on all the calls, and if she's still comfortable with at least the staff resources, that provides some comfort. We ought to reflect on whether or not constituencies and other outside groups are likely to be able to deal with a bunch of questions all posed to them at the same time, but it's probably a little bit easier to deal with if they come in a big batch instead of three sets a week apart.
Bruce, this is Jeff Newman, Task Force 1.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Timeline that I set forth was very aggressive. The reason I did it is I was under the false impression that we had to have a preliminary report before Rome. I am certainly happy to extend our schedule out to match either two or three. So just wanted that to give you that background. You know, we were operating that we had to deliver a report before Rome, and since Rome was March 2nd, that's why we developed this timeline we did.
I think my view just on the issue of Rome, I think that the task forces should definitely take Rome into account as being a major point in time where they can get input from the ICANN community. And so with that in mind, having some sort of document available that people can look at for discussion in Rome, I think would be useful. Now, whether you choose to call that document the preliminary report using the terminology from the bylaws, or whether you just choose to call it a draft report, I still think there's value in incorporating the Rome meeting into the timelines of the task forces.
Yeah, this is Barbara. I would just interject slightly here that we can't completely coordinate the deliverables. It's just Task Force 1 has to complete its work before I think it's Task Force 2 can complete its work. And so you have to have some conclusions out of Task Force 1 before one of the milestones in Task Force 2 or 3, I can't remember which it is, can be completed. So I would just caution you about trying to lockstep these things too closely.
Right, yeah, I'm not quite sure what that deliverable would be, but...
I can't remember off the top of my head, but there was one that called for looking at the conclusions of Task Force 1 before taking some other stuff.
Yeah, sorry, this is Jordan again. I think our Milestone 3 maybe requires some, it probably has some of the same inputs as Task Force 1, but I don't think it's actually required that Task Force 1 completes their work. It's just that we would have to understand some of the sort of same options under consideration as Task Force 1, although admittedly, if we're going to suggest some sort of I think there's the policy implications, and then I think there's also some technical implementation of the policy, and I think that neither Task Force 1 nor 2 are likely to get to the point, hopefully, of suggesting specific technological implementation, but rather high level policy objectives that hopefully then the technology people will implement. So I think it's not incompatible to have those go in parallel, just as long as there's some coordination between the two to make sure that we're not going in completely different directions and end up with conflicting policy recommendations. But I think that's really the council's job to make sure that the council doesn't adopt policy recommendations that
complete
do such a thing.
What I would suggest, I don't think at this point during this meeting we're at a point where we can sign off on a particular timeline. I think what I'd like the task forces to do in collaboration with the ICANN staff manager and Glenn, and I can also help in terms of the development, if you like, of the spreadsheet that identifies all these dates, that we do another iteration, and that iteration looks at having sufficient time for data collection, that looks at ensuring that the time in the Rome meeting can be usefully used as part of the process, and look at trying to coordinate the points at which the questionnaires, if you like, are going out at a consistent time, so that we're not asking people, as some have mentioned, you know, one questionnaire 1 week and another questionnaire the following week. Does that sound like a reasonable approach?
Yeah. I have a short comment, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Tom Keller has sent a proposed timeline to Task Force. A proposed revised timeline for the Task Force 2, and I would ask Tom to forward that to the Council so other Task Forces can consider this too.
and particular feature I like about that timetable is that it uses Rome for developing constituency positions. So this gives constituencies some opportunity to maybe talk together and work together before submitting formal position statements. I could imagine that this may be beneficial for all the task forces.
But really, the council, I mean, the task forces should be working out what their recommendation is on the time frame and then presenting it to council, right?
Marilyn, I'm not disagreeing with this. Yeah. I just want to make sure that people are aware of good ideas.
Okay. So what I suggest we do, I'll schedule, one of the things we haven't done really is set up a schedule of meetings for next year, but I think if we can aim to set up a meeting perhaps the second week of January of the GNSO Council, and at that stage that we can attempt to sign off on a set of timelines that are coordinated across the three task forces. Then if the council can sign off at that point, then we can then forward that to the board for its approval. Okay, any other? I guess we've had the report from Jeff. Jordan, did you have anything you wanted to add on your task force specifically?
I don't believe so. We've had the opportunity, I think, to actually put together some initial questions. So I think we might be in a position to start circulating questions to constituencies and so on a little bit earlier than the other task forces, but I think I'm getting the feeling from this call that it may make more sense to coordinate those inquiries to those outside groups and, as we've discussed, sync up the timelines a little bit more. I don't think it adjusts our overall timeline very much to sync with the other task forces. So that's the only comment I would make.
Okay. Now, a question that has been raised about the participation during task force calls. There has been some discussion on the registrar's mailing list, just querying what the role of alternates was during a teleconference. The council in its meeting, I think, in November passed a motion that basically said that constituencies could appoint more than one person to attend meetings and be members of the mailing list, but only one person would be representing the views of the constituency. And this was intended for fairness, for some constituencies may have less members available to participate. I've had some feedback that there has been broader participation, and in looking into that, I had a suggestion from Brian Darville in his task force, which was to say that given that some of the alternates have knowledge of history of some of the prior work that's been conducted in the area of who is, that some of those alternates have been useful and been able to point people in the direction of previous documents. The issue, of course, comes down to that if people are then using their, if a particular constituency has three or four reps and each of them suggests material that supports their argument, then in a way they're influencing the views of the task force. Because this issue has been raised to me a couple of times, I felt that I needed to bring it to the council for their views. And I just wonder whether, I know, Mark, you had raised the issue from the non-commercial constituency point of view that you wanted to ensure that there was fair participation on task forces. Have you had any feedback from the non-commercial constituency on this issue at all? Would you like to comment on this further? May not still be on the call. Would anyone else like to comment on this topic area?
Bruce Philip here, yes. I'd like to comment.
Yep, go ahead, Phil.
Okay, I think you're right to raise it, and to my mind there would be a relatively simple solution. I think any constituency with more than one representative could perhaps decide for any particular call to designate the alternative as the spokesman for the constituency for that call, if that spokesman has some expertise to offer on the particular subject matter of that call. That should probably mop up most cases. And beyond that, I would leave it to the discretion of the task force chairman to accept, as a point of information only, a matter of fact that perhaps an alternate wanted to report to stop a task force otherwise acting in ignorance, and leave it up to chairman's discretion as to whether or not that facility to make a point of information is being abused, and encourage chairman to stop it if it is.
And Bruce, I would like to speak on this issue. It's Marilyn.
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
In both the transfers task force and the previous CUIS task force, constituencies had different numbers of representatives. Some had one, some had three. In the operation of the work of the task force, people contributed, but during votes, only one person could speak to a position of their constituency, and only one, there was only one vote. Jordan has chaired other task forces in the past as well, and I'm just putting forward the history for people to consider. I think the point of the work of a task force, there's a significant amount of work that needs to be done besides just expressing opinions. And at least in those past two task forces that I worked within, I found the additional work and contribution of the additional participants of the constituencies very valuable.
So I guess the thing that I guess Philip is proposing, that there's discretion given to the chair of a task force, and the chair can accept items of fact, but when it's coming down to opinions, then that there should just be one opinion from a particular constituency, and I guess that's what the difference is, and I'm reasonably comfortable with chairs making that decision themselves with that as an understanding of principle. Jeff Newman, do you want to comment as one of the chairs? Are you comfortable that you can make that work, or you want something more definitive from the council to guide the chairs?
You know, I think our task force has been operating pretty well. It doesn't seem to me that people have minded when the alternates have made statements, and I think we can manage it internally, but it would help to have some guidelines so that later on, after all, it was the direction from the council that told us, that there had to be a primary and that alternate couldn't even speak during the call. I think as a task force chair, I could pretty much control, but pretty much make sure that there's no abuse of one constituency or two constituencies kind of having multiple people contribute without having the concrete rule of no one may speak other than the primary. So I'd ask for a little bit of flexibility as well as some guidance, if that makes sense.
Okay, well, I guess the guidance that I would recommend is probably what Brian Darble had suggested in his task force. Let's see if I can find the words he had. But it was basically distinguishing between a individual giving a constituency position or opinion as opposed to an individual that was providing some clearly factual data. And maybe I can forward that to the council list and ask Glenn to forward it to the Who Is Task Force as clarification, because I think that probably gives that element of flexibility that you're talking about there, Jeff, but the principles are fairly clear that once people delve into providing opinions, then there should only be one opinion for the constituency, but if it's factual information, then the chair has the discretion to accept that or not.
Yeah, I think that helps a lot.
Okay, I'll provide a note to the council list
Bruce, this is Mark Schneiders. Can I say something about this?
Yes, go ahead, Mark.
We sort of went into this same topic a couple of weeks ago, and then we came to a balance that gave constituencies that are able to send more representatives not more power in these task forces. And now this sort of compromise is opened up. Do I understand that right? Because, yeah, I may be too suspicious, but differentiating between fact and opinion is not always easy. Would you see as fact, I may see as opinion, and vice versa, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, and I also don't understand why, if I am in a task force with somebody else from my constituency, why I could not present all the facts, why this other person could only do that.
I think the issue is probably just the dynamic nature of a call, that a particular issue comes up and an alternate member might say, oh, well, actually, that issue that you're asking to do some work on has already been done, and you can look for it at this place.
Bruce, this is Elisabeth Bartonev. I joined earlier. Please put me on queue. I wanted to provide one comment. Thank you.
Okay, I'll put you in the queue, Elisabeth. Yeah, coming back to Mark.
Yeah, I think I've said what I wanted to say. It's not that I oppose this 100%, but I think we are on a slippery path to make the constituencies unequal. It's just a concern that I would like to express.
Yeah, and I think, Mark, I guess what we're saying is that we're giving the chair some discretion in that area, and I think what I would say, what I'd recommend then, if a constituency feels that that discretion is being used inappropriately, that can be raised to the council level so that there is a place to go if that becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be good.
Could I go on?
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got you in the queue now, Thomas. Ken Stubbs?
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to echo Marilyn's comments because I was involved in both those task forces. I think you have to have the flexibility as the chairman of a task force to be able to use the expertise and experience that's available on the call. I think also that each one of the task force members elected a chairman, and I, with the idea that they had confidence in the chair's ability to manage the discussion as well as to keep the task force on focus. So I think the best approach that we could continue to use would be to give the chairman discretion. If there's abuse out there, I'm sure we're going to hear about it. But there's a difference between abuse and for lack of a better term, paranoia. And I think for all intents and purposes, everybody appears at this point in time to be moving forward with the best of intentions. So let's not make more out of it than I think it's necessary to do at this point in time. Thanks.
Okay. Elisabeth Portland?
Thank you very much, Bruce. It is my pleasure to join you just as liaison from CCTLD group. I wanted to pass the message related to who is task force on data accuracy. It is my pleasure to tell you that Center in particular and CCTLD in general will deal with who is and who is related services shortly. As Center is concerned, it will be in February. We are going to start a survey about who is and who is services by mid of January, and we will have accurate information to share with GNSO Council probably 1 month later.
Can you send an email to the council list, Elisabeth, just with those dates, because that would help schedule the task?
Yes, certainly I will do it. As I was getting this information just prior to the call, I wanted to tell you, but I will be providing you it by email. And we are also willing to get questions as you GNSO people ask yourself about data accuracy and about keeping who is accurate, and then we will be able to include probably your questions in ours. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thomas Rossler?
I wanted to come back to Task Force participation issue. I wholeheartedly agree with the proposal to give some discretion to Task Force chairs to let alternate state facts and to avoid abuses by intelligent management of the calls. If there are abuses, I would recommend that people raise them, maybe to the council, but I would give the presumption of, workability to the task forces and the flexibility.
Okay. Thanks, Thomas. Okay. Well, I'll write a note to the council list just summarising that discussion and the conclusions from it, and then that can be passed on to the task forces. The next item on the agenda is on the topic of registry services, or the policy development process related to changes to the operation of registries. I guess the first item to clarify is, have each of the constituencies provided to the staff manager or the GNSO secretariat the identity of the person that will be coordinating the constituency position statement? Can I get an update on that from Glenn or Barbara?
Yes. Bruce, I'll give you an update. For the business constituency, it's Grant Forsyth. For the GTLD registries, it's Jordan Buchanan. For the ISPs, it's Tony Harris. For the non-commercials, it's Mark Schneider. I don't know about the registrars. For the IPs, it's J. Scott Evans, who is the chairman of the IP constituency.
Okay, and from registrars. Okay, so registrars get to notify. Okay, I'll prompt the chair of the registrar constituency to notify you there.
I wasn't sure.
There has been some discussion, but I think it's dropped off. So we just need to get that formalised. The other issue, I guess, is on timelines for that process. The intent is for constituencies to get a statement through to the ICANN staff manager by about the 12th of January. That will generally mean that constituencies will need to be holding, mailing list discussions or teleconferences to try and reach those constituency positions. I'd be interested to hear from the council members on what state their work is at this stage and whether they will be able to produce a statement by the 12th of January. Marilyn or Philip, can you comment on from the business constituency? What is the state of work on this area?
We will meet the deadline of January the 12th.
Okay. Jordan or Carrie, like to comment on where the registries are on this topic?
Yeah, we've had a fair amount of conversation internally. I expect that we ought to be able to meet the 12th deadline.
Sorry, what was that, Jordan?
I expect, I would be surprised if we couldn't meet the deadline of the 12th.
Okay. From the Tony Harris, has there been any work from the ISPs on this topic?
Yes, we're working on this, and we expect to meet the date you mentioned, 12th of January.
Okay. I'm sure my list of who's from which constituency.
Mark Schneider's from non-commercial.
Yeah,
I think I can say the same as the last speaker, that we are working on it and we will do everything we can to meet the deadline.
Okay, it's all sounding good. Tom Keller?
It's the same as the registrars. We're working on it and we hope that we will meet the deadline.
Okay. So that looks like we're likely to get some constituency statements by the 12th of Jan for you, Barbara.
Okay.
And
then what I suggest is Barbara would need to collate all those together into a single document of some form and potentially identify areas where there's some commonality and areas where there's some differences. What I would suggest before Barbara finalises the initial report, that the council meets to go through those position statements and tries to work with the staff manager to reach some initial conclusions for the initial report. So that sounds like it's likely to happen in the sort of third to fourth week of January.
Okay.
And I'll try and set some dates for a call in that area. Are there any initial thoughts or conclusions that people would want to raise at this call, or they're still at too early a stage to share?
Bruce?
Yes?
Yes, Ken Stubbs. I was going to ask Barbara and Kurt if they had any observations, bullet points, comments, concerns that they might want to get out now to help each of the constituencies a little more direction, or the council itself.
I think we'd be happy to do that. I actually had a question about, was going to raise a question about whether we wanted to perhaps solicit information from the other supporting organization or advisory committees to go along with these constituency statements.
And Barbara, this is Marilyn. Bruce, that's a comment I would like to make. I do think we should be, at this point, asking for comments not only from the other supporting organizations, but also from the CCTLD organization as well.
Okay, so the other supporting, so there's the CCNSO and I guess the address, the ASO, and then what the advisory committees is presumably the security advisory committee would be the most relevant one.
Right.
I don't think getting input from GAC at this stage is probably useful. I think that's probably going to be more useful later on.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say the Security Advisory Committee is the one I was most considering.
Yep. And ALAC, I'm assuming, would provide some input.
We are planning to do that.
Yep, good. Okay, that's a good suggestion, Ken. Well, perhaps if I can ask questions where this formally comes from. So is it appropriate for the GNSO Council Chair to formally request input from the Security Advisory Committee, ALAC and the ASO and the CCNSO? Is that,
no,
I guess, the right thing to do procedurally at this point?
I think that would be acceptable.
Okay. I'll draft a note and get Glenn to circulate it to the relevant chairs.
And then why don't Kurt and I meet together later today to come up with a list of bullet points that we'll forward to you, Bruce, to sort of work out if those are appropriate areas to frame the constituency discussion.
Okay, that would be useful. Okay, is there any other business anyone would like to raise?
Philip, I've just got one point on the other business on the last item, which is a point to do with communication. I noticed that the subject of item 3, which is preliminary views, consistencies, and the procedure for use by ICANN in considering requests for consent and related contractual amendments to allow changes in the architectural operation of DTLD, is 32 words long. The temptation for my constituency in describing this is to use a slightly shorter form and call it new registry services. Now, I understand that new and services does not feature in 32-word title. It may be helpful for us all going forward if ICANN staff were to advise us of an appropriately
short
title.
Yeah.
I think it's a good point you raise, because I've looked at the GNSO website and I've noticed that the GNSO website has used a term, I guess, is where we first started, and it was quite narrow, which was registry service, and the registrars are tending to refer to that all the time as well.
Yeah, I'm afraid I've fallen
the process
down
is broader.
It. Yeah, this is Barbara. I'm afraid I fall in that habit as well. So I'll work on an appropriate short gloss of the issues that we can all use as a phrase to
thank you very much.
You know, for shorthand.
I'll give you a suggestion, which might just be a process for registry changes or something, and that might be a bit more generic
registry
as opposed to registry services. Because one of the things I think is important is to understand the difference between introducing a new service and changing an existing service. So you might have a service which is called registration of domain names, but you might change the rules by which you can register that. You have to have some special magical amulet or something to register a domain name. Would be a change in policy, but it's not a change in service.
You mean you don't have to have that now?
That's right. Okay, that was a good point, Philip. And also, I think under any other business you've raised, you've presented a paper to the council, which many of us probably haven't had a chance to read, but on the topic of just defining in a bit more detail what would be useful in an issues report. Is that correct, Phil?
Exactly so, yes. As somebody, again, who had been involved in the original drafting of the PDP, we've noticed that looking at various staff reports that we've had have been a little different in scope and ambition. This is no surprise because it's a very new process. And of course, the draft report always tries to make the best of it. However, I felt it may be useful just on one page, short sort of guidance in terms of, I think, what's expected from the initial report, which after all is only a proposition for a PDP to start. In which basically it's talking about the relevance of the issue, the description of the issue, and the recommendation as to whether or not the GNSO should do anything. In that one page, it also says a few things that need not be in the report, like options for solutions and other things which come out of the process itself, which is what may be helpful for the future of drafting of reports, so that they can be very, very focused and very clear, and in particular, contain a really made set of terms of reference, so that one document tells council everything it needs to know. I'm really just doing that in the light of the learning curve that we've all had since this new process has started.
Yeah, I think it would certainly help in an issues report to sort of attempt to have a draft terms of reference which might be refined by the council, but having a starting point would be very helpful, I think. What I suggest is people perhaps read that over the holiday period, and if people have further comments on it, and we might try and finalise that as a document in the new year as well.
Very good.
Okay. Anything else anyone else wants to raise?
I would like to just ask one question if Kurt's still on the phone.
Yeah.
Kurt, I don't mean to put you on the spot. This is Marilyn, but I was a bit taken aback when I saw the announcement that there's a change in the meeting in Rome. Many of the participants at the ICANN meetings who try to stay over to attend the board meetings, and my personal feedback would be that this kind of change may represent something of an imposition on the community who's trying to be there throughout the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not necessarily asking you to respond. I just wanted to provide some feedback of concern.
Yeah, I understand your comment. The board had quite a bit of conversation about that at the meeting in Tunisia and the relative benefits, and then as you're putting it, some of the costs associated with changing
sure.
the schedule in that way.
Sure.
There was some discussion that. And this is presumptuous, but there's some discussion that the vacuum of the additional day would be filled by additional meetings, opportunities to talk, and because it's Rome, even an opportunity to sightsee, so it might not be completely unwelcome, but I understand your concern, and I think that, you know, the board being a fairly new board in a lot of respects is trying to figure out ways to work together better, and so, it's definitely an experiment, and I think feedback from the community is going to guide whether you know, it's run this way again or it's not.
Sure.
So
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, any other issues? Okay, well, at that point, I'll end the call and thank everybody for attending and have a happy holiday season at the end of the year.
You too, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. You too.
Thank you, Bruce.
Bye.
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 Bye.